Em, can you believe we are in our third season of Interview Boss?
Not really. It's crazy. But that means there are over 90 episodes we've made.
Oh my God. Scrolling through all of our episode titles, you might miss an episode that actually is exactly what you're looking for.
Yes, we get so many messages of people asking us to do an episode on something and we're like, we already have. So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are best suited to you. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, and job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
Yes, and we even have a playlist for if you have an interview like tomorrow and you need just our most recommended episodes, just the ones you really need between now and then.
Exactly. It is all there for you. You can browse by category. Check out the playlist at www.interviewboss.com.au/podcast.
We're not talking about the ideal scenario of what things should look like. We're just saying what they are. And I have seen it. And I promise you it will work against you in your career if you are the exception. I hate it as well, but it is what it is.
Hey everyone and welcome back to Interview Boss. I am one half, Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister, the other half, to give you advice, inspiration and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment top doggy and together we're here to give you all the behind the scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey half Emma, I am half Sarah.
Together, we are Interview Boss.
Sounded like you were saying, I'm half of an Emma.
I'm half of Interview Boss. Sometimes when I email people that you've been emailing and then they reply and I'm like taking over, my go-to is saying like, hello, Emma here, in brackets, the other half of Interview Boss, in case they're not across that.
Oh, of course they would know.
So it's like, I'm qualified to be replying. Hey, hope you're well.
We are Emma and Sarah, and by our powers combined, we are Interview Boss. Em, do you know that reference?
No. Superhero of some kind.
Too much of a 90s reference for you. It's by our powers combined, we are Captain Planet or whatever.
No, not into that.
Okay. Anyway.
Lame.
Who are we shouting out in this episode?
We are shouting out Sarah. Sarah with no H, though. She's just a Sarah, S-A-R-A. Hello, fellow Sarah. She bought us 8 coffees, which is so kind. And she had the most perfect message. She said, I just came out of my interview and I nailed it. I'm not even worried about whether I get the job or not. I'm just so happy that I did a good interview. I cannot begin to express how much you helped me. I'm a chronic procrastinator. Sarah, me too. Welcome. This is a safe space. But this time I found your podcast and listened to it while I was avoiding the task at hand. I went interview outfit shopping, endorsed by us. We always say, go and get yourself a fresh new outfit that you love. I cleaned my house and went for runs the whole time listening to you. All of your advice was spot on. You really have something special. Much love from Ireland.
Oh, I love that she's listening while like doing like productive procrastinating, you know, when you're like trying to do something and you're like, I must clean first. And it's silly. You don't need to clean first. But hey, you can have both. You can clean and also listen. I love that.
It just sums up everything that we're about. A, that it's not about the outcome. It's about how you've prepared differently. You finally feel confident knowing that, hey, it's fine if I don't get it because I am now so good at this. That confidence will carry you.
I did myself justice.
Yes, that is the feeling we're chasing. We're not chasing your next interview. You must get the offer. It's that feeling knowing you did yourself justice. The second thing is that even if you feel like you're procrastinating or it's really hard to like make progress because the job search can be so relentless, by doing things like this, you know, other ordinary life admin, but having us on, you are still doing something that's working toward your future.
And mixing in some fun bits of the interview prep with the new outfit. I love it. She's chasing the dopamine parts of the job search and I endorse. I'm a fan.
And I know it will pay off for you.
Yeah, totally. If you need help at your next interview, check out our brand new Interview Academy. It breaks down step by step by step how to prep for your interview. And if you are like Sarah, you might need the accountability to go do this first, do this next. You've got homework. Here's all the steps you need to follow. It would be really helpful in that situation. So you can find out all about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy.
Interview Academy is an unofficial hub for procrastinators. Just saying.
Yeah, definitely.
Just saying.
Now, what are we talking about on this week's episode? I think this is going to be a popular one.
We are talking about being a digital nomad, those remote jobs.
Yep.
That everybody wants desperately after COVID. We're all traumatized. We all just want to work from home, understandably.
Literally everybody wants a remote job. It is wild. We've got some stats here and a little bit of research to show just how incredibly popular remote jobs still are, but kind of that the trends are shifting a little bit too. So the third annual Ernst & Young Future Workplace Index. So it's like a research of corporate leaders. They do surveys and stuff, and then they publish the kind of findings. It is from the US, but the full-time remote work reporting levels have plummeted from 34% in 2022 to 1% in 2023.
What?
That is crazy. Down to 1% of survey respondents reporting full-time remote work. So, like, remote work is going away a lot faster than I think what people expected.
I'm not surprised by this because in my job, I report a lot on the work from home movement, like, you know, trends in a lot of big businesses, like over here in Australia, like we're making headlines for demanding that people get back in the office. Like, and yeah, it's kind of a trend. So I'm not surprised by this because that doesn't mean that remote, flexible couple days from home are going down, but it's that fully remote.
Fully remote is the most impacted. So then there's also some research from LinkedIn. So they did a global state of remote work survey, and it's only just been published this year. And the growth in demand for remote work is way above what the actual supply of remote jobs are. And I think anyone already knows this, but it's interesting to hear the numbers. So the share of US remote job postings dropped over 9 percentage points from January 2022 to December 2023, and they were only 10% of total job posts. But here's the crazy part. They receive 46% of all applications. And
wow.
I read somewhere else, it's like two to three times the amount of applications for those job posts.
So highly competitive.
Very competitive.
Highly sought after.
And that's the US, but the same trends are in the UK, France, Germany, India, definitely here in Australia too. We've seen various different surveys and research. And I think it's interesting to keep in mind. You have to be aware of this if you're targeting a remote job, is that there are less remote jobs and everybody wants them.
More people wanting one.
Yeah. So there's a numbers problem here a little bit.
The math ain't mathin'.
I know. I don't want to put everyone off, but like it's going to be rough and you need to go in eyes wide open.
It's important to be educated.
Yeah,
it is.
Exactly.
So something to consider, obviously, when you're applying is be prepared for this high competition. It's not going to be a walk in the park.
Yes.
And you should factor this in when you're thinking about, you know, your next steps, your career, or deciding where to move or relocate. I feel like a lot of people say to us, oh, I'm planning on moving over here and I'll just get a remote job, and they factor it in as if like I can just scoop that up really easily.
I think get the remote job and then work out what you're going to do next, because we've had a few people reach out being like, oh, I'm applying for all these jobs. I have to do remote only because of XYZ reason, because I'm regional, because of my kids, because
I moved here and there's not good job prospects.
Because of whatever the reason is, I need only remote and I'm really struggling. And all of our advice still applies, obviously, but when you've got that many more people applying than regular jobs, the game is just going to be much, much more challenging, unfortunately.
This is where we come in with the advice.
Yeah.
What if you're dead set on remote? You're like, nope, I need it for whatever reasons. I need remote. Don't try and talk me out of it. What? How can I get a better chance at securing one?
And like, I do want to talk you out of it because like it's going to be so much harder. But appreciate that for some people, this is what you're targeting. And hey, some people do get those jobs, right? Like somebody's got to get it. It may as well be you. So use the filters on the job boards. Like I think it'd be very silly for a company to be reposting a remote job and not ticking the remote job box or whatever. So use the filters on job boards that you're looking at and check out if there's job boards in your country that are set up specifically for flexible jobs only. I think there's one called Flex Jobs. I haven't even looked at it. I don't know if it's any good, but maybe there's a version of that where you live that you can look up specifically. Only jobs on there will be some sort of flexible.
Now, these are going to be competitive jobs. Being qualified isn't going to be enough. What can you do to stand out?
Yes, and these jobs are going to have their pick of talent. I think sometimes people feel like, well, I'm qualified, so I'll at least get an interview. Well, that's not always how that works, because what if there are 50 people who are technically qualified? Like, they're not going to interview 50 people. So they kind of get their pick of, I want this person because I like the sound of that company. Like, if they've got so many people to choose from, they kind of get to be fussy and choose exactly what they want. So you're likely going to need to be very, very high up the list of exactly what they're looking for in order to go for these jobs. So I think keep that in mind. You could target the exact industries, the exact roles. Like, I think you're going to have a better chance if you are picture perfect for that role, as opposed to, oh, I have those skills kind of thing.
Hey, job hunters, big news. Our all new course, Interview Academy, is live and ready to transform your interview game. It's all the strategies from Sarah's one-on-one coaching, but without the limited time slots.
Yep. It takes you step by step by step through crafting your career story, coming up with your awesome best bits, and all the practice you need.
And guess what?
It's at a special launch price, never to be seen again. Get more information at interviewboss.com.au/interview-academy. It's linked in the show notes below.
For sure. Your resume is going to be very, very important, more so than usual, because like Sarah just said, they're not interviewing everyone, especially when they're getting such an influx. Your resume needs to do you justice. And I would not do the copy generic and, you know, upload. I would be tailoring it very specifically for each remote posting.
Exactly. And I actually think most people could stand to work a little bit more on their resume, to be honest. Like, listen to our resume episodes. They are not as popular as our interview ones, and that I get it, because you've got an interview and whatever, like, you're not really worried about your resume. If you're applying and you're not getting interviews, make sure you've listened to all of our resume content. I promise you,
you'll find something to improve.
Yeah, it can help. And look, I'm the first to say there's only so much you can do with how you're presenting your skills, but you want your resume to do what your skills are and your experiences justice. They will be making the judgments on, you haven't done this thing. A resume is not going to solve that problem for you. But if you have done that thing and it's not clear, you can make it clear, right? Like, you want it to be as good as you can make it.
Definitely. And know that certain industries and roles are way more likely to hire remote. So tech, for sure, by far, will hire the most remote positions. So just be aware of that.
And so it's some industries, so the whole tech industry and maybe all of their jobs might be more remote, but some actual job titles and roles will suit remote a lot better. So like an HR job is actually pretty unlikely to be fully remote unless the whole company is fully remote. So you might want to do research on what companies are completely remote on their workforce and then look at what they're posting, because you might not come across them doing a search another way. Em, your career in radio is pretty much never going to be remote, right?
Unfortunately, I never have a chance of working from home ever, 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 ever.
But I wanted to kind of show how this can come in handy, because copywriting might be, or like writing articles, way more likely to be flexible, like probably very likely to be flexible. And recruitment, again, I don't think it's likely to be remote, but it's more likely than HR to be remote, for sure. So you might have to factor that in, of like what kinds of roles you're going for and the job titles that you're searching for. Does that suit remote work? And I think it might be a controversial opinion here about remote work and kind of what it suits. What's the most common thing, Em, you hear people say of like, why do I need to come back into the office? I've been fine from home. Like, what's the most common kind of things that people will say?
Probably because they're going to the beach on their lunch break and like.
No, but what do they say in the news of like, I don't understand, why do you want me back?
I'm getting all my work done.
Yes. And what do they normally say beyond that? It's not just I'm getting my work done, but like,
I can get my work done quicker at home.
I'm like more productive. And like, for certain roles, I completely agree. And that's why I think it does suit certain roles better than others. For example, developers in tech, a lot of that says you have to be very focused and spend a couple of focused hours of work to actually make progress on coding. And so a lot of people will say, well, that really, really suits working from home where you're not going to be interrupted. But most people will say, I get so much more done because I don't get interrupted. And my answer to that is sometimes, yeah, I know. That's kind of why you need to come back, because you don't get interrupted, but we need to interrupt you. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, that's kind of the problem, is that I can't interrupt you. And therefore, stuff that suddenly comes up and is a priority can't be dealt with quickly anymore because you can't be interrupted. That's like the reason that you're stating is actually the reason that sometimes it doesn't work. Now, I think hybrid is the way of the future for sure. Fully remote, I think, can work really well if it's certain roles. And if it's the whole company, I think that works really well. I think that's why it did work in COVID, because everyone was at home. But some people being fully remote in an otherwise kind of hybrid or in-person company, I think it can be really tough because then everyone's on online calls all the time. I don't know. I like the idea of we're all in on this day, we're all out on that day. I think that's cool. That works well.
It causes sometimes, I've seen at my work, it kind of causes like workflow disruptions when there's the one person that's not there, but they're who needed, and then everyone else is kind of running circles to.
And then instead of having your team meeting in person, you've got six members of the team in person and one online. So it's like worse than being all online and also worse than being all in person. It's just completely worse to have like half and half. So it's tough. I get it. But that's why I think we're seeing the fully remote decrease and in favor of hybrid. So look at what are the trends, what are the roles that are easy to stay remote. Like developers tend to not have meetings. So therefore that stuff doesn't apply. They don't need to check in with other people. They've got XYZ to do by themselves. Same with copywriting, similar with recruitment, like you're running your own race a little bit. Those roles are going to be much more likely to function really well when they're remote. So consider a bit of a career change or think about what skills do I need to have one of those roles. If you want to be remote forever, this is your strategy, I think, because otherwise you'll find like one HR role that's remote and then you're kind of trapped there forever because you can't move.
Is there longevity in being remote for the field that you've taken?
That's exactly right. Yes. Very good.
Also, use your network. Reach out to people on LinkedIn. Make a post on LinkedIn. I'm looking for remote work. Does anyone know of any opportunities?
Catch up with people that you used to work with. Reach out to people that you might know, friend of a friend, family member, people who work places.
As always, this stands for anything in life.
True.
When people say, what's going on? Don't say, yeah, not much. Say, oh, yeah, I'm looking for remote work.
Yeah.
They'll then remember. And if anything ever comes up, they'll tell you. It's great. Make them your minions.
Yes. And I think the reason this works here, it's also the case for any other times where you need a bit of special consideration. You're much more likely to get that when you're dealing human to human, as opposed to I'm sending in an application and it's not what they asked for. I want remote, but the job not listed as remote. That's harder to get traction as opposed to, hey, I know you're hiring for this person. What about hiring me remote? Would that work? And you've got this personal connection. They're more likely to make an exception for someone they know. It's just, I've seen it happen so many times. Hey, this role can't be part-time, but I've got a friend of a friend. Ooh, maybe that works. It just happens.
Some companies also could be open to the idea of hiring someone remotely if they're struggling to fill it locally and then you hit them up and slide in with the right skills. So maybe they haven't considered it upfront as in, hey, we're hiring specifically for this. But if they've had the ad up for like months and there's just no one locally that can do it, maybe they'll out of desperation, not saying you're not worth it, but go, wow, maybe we really do need to open our scope and look at something else.
Exactly. And could you come up with something then? I know we're trying not to talk people out of it, of like being there once a quarter and like paying to travel to wherever the office is to have catch-up meetings or...
Yeah, spend a week or... Yeah,
something like that, and reach out with that proposal. I think this works better with smaller or medium-sized companies. I think the larger the company you go, it's like they're going to have policies and rules.
They're established.
And like if it's not remote, then it's not remote. Like I think you're going to have more flexibility the smaller you go.
Now, we've done the advice on if you are dead set on staying remote, but We're going to play devil's advocate and see if we might be able to give you some other thoughts. So hybrid is really the new normal. Like Sarah just said, that's the way things are heading. That's really what a lot of big companies are trying to pull back toward. What would it look like for you to consider a hybrid approach? And maybe you could be creative about how you arranged your in-office days. If you've only got to be in the office 2 days a week, can it be Wednesday, Thursday, so that Friday and Monday surrounding the weekend is at home? And that gives you flexibility to go away or...
And if you didn't live close and you had a very long commute to get there, well, could you then factor into your salary expectations and your budget and whatever to say, okay, on Wednesday nights, I book a hotel that's close to the office and I drive down once on Wednesday morning really early. I work all day there, stay at the hotel that night, work Thursday, and then I go back to where I live. Like, I think if you're struggling and you're trying to get like, how do I get a job that really suits me and your current arrangement's not working? I think you need to be creative.
It's kind of like, how can I get closer to what I want? I'm not striking it with remote. I need to reassess. What I'm chasing is flexibility, not necessarily definite, you know, remote. This gets me almost there and buys me time to keep looking.
And obviously that only works if you're within commuting distance. Like if you're having to fly, like that might be a lot harder, but I think it also shows like, hey, this is not what I wanted, but it's also not what the company wanted, but we're both compromising. It shows a little bit of, well, if I do this, I'm really going out of my way to make it work. Could you switch from 3 days in the office to two for me and I'll do this big travel thing or whatever? Like, I think you've got options there.
And on that note, you're way more likely to get the flexibility that you need if you approach a company that's already hybrid compared to one that wants everyone in the office and you're the lone wolf that's like, but come on, that's not going to work for me. Like, target the ones that already mention stuff about flexibility.
You're the lone what?
Wolf.
Wolf. I think Emma means wolf, but she pronounces it.
You can't wolf. Say wolf with an L like that. Nobody says wolf. That's just, you say it quick, wolf.
Wolf is what a dog makes, like the sound of dogs make.
The L's in there, listen, wolf.
No, it's wolf. Not, it's not.
Wolf.
Woof, woof.
I don't know anyone that accentuates the L.
Look over there, look at that animal. No, it's not an animal, it's just a dog barking. So funny. But your point that you made is correct. You don't want to be the lone person who is working remote when everyone else is in person. I think even if they agreed to it, I wouldn't recommend doing it. I saw in a post somewhere someone asking for advice about this. Hey, how do I ask to be hybrid, but this company wants me in every single day? And my advice was like, sure, ask. But like, even if they say yes, what's that going to be like for you when everyone else is in there every single day and you're the person who's not?
It also probably means things aren't going to be set up well. Like if you're already going for a company that's hybrid, you best believe it's a well-oiled machine that everyone is trained on how to get online. If you have an ancient company that like everyone's 60 and has been there forever and are trying to accommodate you, like would that be the best environment?
You're going to be left out of stuff. You're going to be like not looped in on things. You're going to be overlooked for promotion. I know people hate this stuff and they don't want it to be true. But as we always say here, we're not talking about the ideal scenario of what things should look like. We're just saying what they are. And I have seen it. And I promise you, it will work against you in your career if you are the exception. I hate it as well, but it is what it is. And we're trying to help you. I think the other really cool option is consider looking at freelancing or like working for yourself in like a contracting capacity. You don't have to run like a whole business and have a website and do that whole thing, but you could kind of like reach out to companies that are posting roles and say, hey, I don't have to be an employee because maybe you've got a policy against that, but you could throw me some work every now and then and I can have an ABN or a company number or whatever and invoice you and do bits and pieces of work that come up for you. I think that could work really well, particularly for certain types of skills. So like copywriting, for example, would work really well there, like social media type stuff, like anything that has the ability to work asynchronously works as a freelance skill.
There you have it. There is your how-to guide on remote jobs. We share some light on the situation, give you advice for if you are absolutely convinced you need one and want one, and that is for you. And also some other considerations if you're finding it really hard to crack one, what might be the next best thing.
Yeah, it's tough out there, but we believe in you.
Good luck, digital nomads.
Good luck. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us in Apple or Spotify or whatever other pod app that you're listening on, or tell someone else about the show so you can help them in their job search process, and it lets us help even more people. For more advice, inspiration, and a supportive community, throw us a follow over on Instagram.
We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.